Okay, we left off last week. We were discussing tzitzis and the summer, or more relevant, different halachic shailas pertaining to wearing tzitzis or not wearing tzitzis. And Mitzvah Shem, tonight we're going to focus a little bit more about where to put your tzitzis. I mean, we spoke in the last week about what type of tzitzis one should buy. And again, I'm going to mention it again. I think it's probably kedai in the summer, especially if it's hot, and you know you're going to be in a hot area, and you know you're going to sweat, it's very likely not to buy wool tzitzis and opt for the cotton tzitzis. Befrat, according to Reb Chaim Kanevsky's understanding of the Chazon Ish, it might be detrimental to buy wool. Not just you're not being mekayem nechumos, it might be detrimental. But I want to now talk a little bit about situations that come up about where exactly to put the tzitzis. So again, let's, for example, in the summer, it's very hot. So a lot of people say, you know what, I'm going to just cut out the undershirt. I'll put my tzitzis directly on my clothing, directly on my chest. Now, we'll see in a second, there's a huge mile to that and perhaps a chasarn. And then what we'll get to, at least to finish up this small booklet, is we'll talk a little bit about the idea of the undershirt tzitzis. The undershirt tzitzis, I think, was really invented for children or young kids. Could be you can get it in an adult size, I don't know myself. Where basically is they take an undershirt and they make four kanfus out of it and they attach tzitzis to it. This way, for a kid, he saves one step. So most of us put on an undershirt, then we put on tzitzis, then we put on a shirt. For the undershirt tzitzis, that's the undershirt and that's the tzitzis. So let's discuss some of the milos and the chasrenes, and then we'll end off talking about why exactly there's a black stripe through our talus and our talus cousin. We'll talk about that. Then in Mitzvah Shem, we'll get to the next booklet, which is going to be discussing the shayla, which we were supposed to talk about 3 weeks ago. But if you take off your tzitzis to go swimming, you take your tzitzis off to go play ball, not to go play ball. You switch tzitzis to play ball in another baguette, or you take your tzitzis off to go to sleep. What do you do with another bracha? We'll get to all that blue nether. That's the next booklet on that you all have. So let's go back to the first booklet. We quoted over here from the Das Noite. That's safe. It's a sefer we use a lot on Hilchot Tzitzis. This is from Reb Chaim Kanevsky. And we started last week this question, and we ran out of time. So let's repeat the question because it's a great shtickle. Shaila, Misha Asa Pula Shemazei Bahar. Someone asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky, final question. Someone's doing an activity that's causing him to sweat a lot. Maybe he should take off his tzitzis. So the questionnaire to Reb Chaim Kanevsky was asking that maybe if you keep a tzitzis on in a situation where there's going to be profusely sweating, it's going to be degrading to the tzitzis. You're going to make your tzitzis all sweaty. Now the truth is you can ask this question in a lot of different shapes and colors. Let's say, for example, you're going to wear your tzitzis without a shirt. You want to bake, you want to cook, you want to eat, even eat. Right? You know, a person eats, he gets ketchup on his tzitzis, he gets, you know, this on it. So it's not just sweating or things like that, but there are certain activities that you can, you know, that you can easily degrade the tzitzis by getting them dirty. So you'll tell me you can wash it, okay. We spoke about this, the Ramon Shulchan Aruch talks about having your tzitzis and talus washed by a guy. Okay. So he asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky this question. Reb Chaim Kanevsky answered, Ein ze bize mitzvah. Says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, this is not bize mitzvah. We're on the other booklet, the smaller booklet. Right? So Reb Chaim Kanevsky's response was, this is not bize mitzvah. No. Sweating in your talus cotton is not considered bize mitzvah. And on the footnote of 1B on the left side, if you swing over, he writes like this. Someone else asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky, are you allowed to take off your talus cotton? Reb Chaim Kanevsky answered him with the following, Ein ro'i. It's not correct to take off the tzitzis. And he writes, Ulishoyel Noisif, and to another questioner he added, Shapir Shashail, he explained the question, Oides Misha Asa His Amlus, Lahanosoi. So the questionnaire, the person asking the question, explained that he does sports, and he wants to know, he's doing physical activity. Oyeza Inyan Kyoitsiba. So is he allowed to take off his tzitzis so he could play sports? Al Zeh Heishiv, listen to Reb Chaim Kanevsky's response. Heishiv Abinu Shlita B'Zalosh and Hari Ish Ein Eoyse Zeh Mishon Bital Teiru V'Isha P'tur Mitzitzit. So his answer was, Mamon Afshach. A man shouldn't be doing this activity, and a woman who could be doing this activity doesn't have to wear tzitzis. So obviously, he's obviously not a keen backer of sports and physical activity. Obviously, we all know that it's healthy and very good to do sports and physical activity, so I'm not exactly sure what Reb Chaim Kanevsky meant by that. But in any case, he definitely does not approve of one taking off the tzitzis to play sports. And again, today, you can really buy two pairs of tzitzis, one to play sports in and one to do, you know, regular activity in. So that's a weak heter to, again, there's a lot to talk about over here because Mitzat Shein, you can argue that, you know, if I wore my tzitzis for 18 hours out of the 20 hours, it's genug shayin. So I'm going to sweat out my tzitzis. So again, Reb Chaim Kanevsky is not a believer that that's bizei mitzvah. I would just argue that Lamaisa, being that we saw already last week that since it's shayach to do the mitzvah, you can buy another pair of tzitzis. Again, for that, buy a cotton pair of tzitzis. They're not so expensive. Shailas, can you buy a mesh pair of tzitzis to play ball in? Okay, that's already more of a shaila. Because we learned last week that Ramosha was adamantly against mesh tzitzis. But there are poiskim that are okay with the mesh tzitzis. So, okay. Maybe for playing ball, you can buy a mesh pair. But I don't know. It depends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so this is Reb Chaim Kresky's argument. His argument is sweating up in your tzitzis is not bizar. You'll sweat up and then you'll wash them.
You have the time. You take a shower.
They don't,
anyone say you keep it on?
No, I think the argument could be made is that doing sports is part of wearing clothing. Uh-huh. So the same way you have special clothing for sportswear, so have special tzitzis for tzitzis. Have special tzitzis. Yeah, again, the question just is, would I feel comfortable telling someone to wear mesh? I don't know. I heard a certain Rav who does tell people that for sports they can wear mesh, but Lamaisa, I'll cover for Rav Moshe Feinstein, I would probably tell someone to buy cotton for sports playing. Okay, so now let's talk about the undershirt tzitzis. Or for that matter, let's say in the summer, you say to yourself, listen, I'm not going to wear an undershirt, I'm not going to wear tzitzis, and on top of that, I'm not going to wear a shirt. I'm just going to put the tzitzis on my beged. What's so bad? Now, the truth is, you can actually make the argument that there's a maila to put the tzitzis directly on your body. What's the maila? Because then you can argue that the tzitzis is actually doing something. Meaning in the summer, where I'm wearing an undershirt and tzitzis on a shirt, so the kasha that we had last week was, what's the tzitzis doing? And we have a Taisus in Mesechas Nida. Taisus says that if the talus is not functioning to give off any pleasure, then it's not a talus. That was the argument that Abraham Kenevsky made. So on Mitzad Shein, you can hear someone saying that, no, faket, it's better to put the tzitzis on your beged, because now you can say it's giving you protection. But we'll see that, and I heard from Choshev Rabbanim who taka do that. They bedafka in the summer, put their talus katan on their direct body, and their argument is, now I know I'm getting pleasure from the beged. But Reb Chaim Kenevsky wrote another sefer, wrote a lot of svarim, and this is his commentary to Mesechas Tzitzis. So he writes like this. He's discussing which type of begodim are chayiv in tzitzis. So he writes, Yesh lefarash kama shekasa v'rosh sham. He's talking about a machlokes rishonim about a sugya moed katan. Now the sugya moed katan is not talking about tzitzis. Keep this in mind. Ronnie, you want the other booklet, like the smaller booklet. You want the smaller one, the one page booklet. That's what you want. You want that one. We're up to that one. No, source number two. Yeah, from Maseches Tzitzis, Reb Chaim Kenevsky's commentary on Maseches Tzitzis. You have it?
I have numbers like 40s and 30s.
Okay.
Let's go.
You don't have one, just one individual paper. It says Talos Katan B'Halacha Beis. No, it's not there.
Sorry.
Oh, it's not there?
That's it.
You got it. Okay, good. Talos katan b'halacha chelik beis. Okay, so part two. So Reb Chaim Kenevsky is discussing machlokes rishonim, and I keep in mind the sugya that he's bringing in over. This is, you know, where we're going to have an issue over here. Reb Chaim Kenevsky is comparing the sugya of tzitzis to the sugya of kriya. Now, we know Nebuch that when a person loses one of the Zion Karevim, he has to do Kriya. So the question is, what begodim does a person have to rip? Do they have to rip every single beged, or do they only have to rip certain begodim? So the Rosh writes over there that the Gemara is talking, it's Gemara Moed Katan, it talks about a beged called the Apirkson. So it says over there, the Apirkson is part of Kriya. Why? It's Machlokes Rishonim what it is, but the Rosh learns that it's basically an undershirt. It's an undershirt. And this is the widely accepted practice. We don't find that Avelim ripped their undershirt. Why? Says Reb Chaim Kenevsky, "Mishum dekiven deino soyel lekabel azeya ino lav shem beged." Because what's the whole purpose of an undershirt? It's just to get the sweat. It's not really functioning as a hano, and it's not really there for ornament. It's not there to show off to look nice. So in Melos, Reb Chaim Kenevsky, so they say, and this is what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. We pass in Shulchan Aruch from Chabad Ramo Paskin and Hilchas Kriya. In right before Hilchas Avelus, that we taka don't do kriya on an undershirt. Says Dr. Chaim Kenevsky, Hachanami, Leinian Tzitzis. Says Dr. Chaim Kenevsky the following. If you're going to take a beged and put it directly on your body, let's say undershirt Tzitzis. So undershirt Tzitzis is directly on the body. If it's directly on the body, it's really just a beged Zeya. It's a beged to accept the sweat. And Melos Dr. Chaim Kenevsky, Shein Asuy Lanas Chimum, El Kabbalah Zeya. So that's the chayra, first of all, that would be Reb Chaim Kenevsky taking issue with the undershirt tzitzis. Rav Chaim Kineski is basically saying is that I see from the sugya of Kriya that an undershirt is not considered a beged. Memela hu adin li in tzitzis, that an undershirt is not considered a beged. Memela not chayv in tzitzis on an undershirt. Memela, if you're going to put on tzitzis on an undershirt talis, undershirt beged, you're putting tzitzis on a non-obligatory beged, therefore you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So this would be Rav Chaim Kineski's way of saying I am against the undershirt tzitzis. But then he takes it a step further. He says, he says, forget that. Let's say you have a regular pair of tzitzis. Regular pair of cotton tzitzis. And you punk this side. You know what? Today I want to skip the undershirt. He says, that's also no good. Because in that case, you're turning it into an undershirt. And an undershirt, by definition, doesn't need a tzitzis. So therefore, here also it shouldn't wear tzitzis. Now that's a jump. We'll see in a second in Das Noite, and the other Sefer Rav Chaim Kineski, he might say it a little differently. But that's a big jump between a shirt, which its entire focus is to be an undershirt, versus if at one time I use it as an undershirt. Again, what you're telling me, let's say, for example, a guy decides one day to skip the undershirt, and he puts just on a shirt. He wouldn't have to kriya on that shirt? A father, it's not a beged zeya. It's a real beged that he happens to be using today as a beged zeya for a few minutes. Okay, we'll talk about it. So this is Rav Chaim Kineski saying very clearly that he's against the notion of A, undershirt tzitzis, and B, putting your tzitzis directly on your beged, on your body. So they asked Rav Chaim Kineski, number 3. They asked Rav Chaim Kineski, is there a reason that you shouldn't put your tzitzis directly on your body? He writes, I am Ashik Asafti B'Sefer, B'Mesechas Tzitzis, B'Raisa, Hey, ba argoma diver masla pirkuson. So he tells us to look at the source that I just quoted you, which he basically says that since, again, what's the lomdus over here? Chaim Kineski is saying that since we know in Hilchas Kriya that an undershirt is not called a beged, memela it also applies to Hilchas Tzitzis. So if the undershirt is not considered a beged, it's not mechayev in tzitzis. If it says Chaim Kineski, it's better not to put your tzitzis on directly on your body because you're turning it into an undershirt. An undershirt is patur minat tzitzis. There's one problem, which Rav Chaim Kineski himself addresses in a question. The problem is that Rav Chaim Kineski is comparing two sugyas. We have a sugya in Hilchas Kriya. Hilchas Kriya is a certain begadim that we have a mitzvah to rip on when someone dies. Then there's another sugya of tzitzis. Now, is it so posh that the two sugyas are tal zeh b'zeh? Maybe when it comes to Hilchas Kriya, it's takatoling, the chashivas of the beged. Chazal said, what's the pshat in Kriya? Right, a person rips his beged, he feels pain, anguish, sadness. Guy rips his undershirt, he doesn't think twice about the undershirt. It's an undershirt, it doesn't count. Masha'enki, when it comes to begadim of tzitzis are a different kishayla. The shayla is whether or not it's called a beged. Maybe an undershirt's really called a beged. But the reason why there's no chiyuv kriya on a beged is because it doesn't accomplish what kriya is supposed to accomplish. Kriya is supposed to accomplish a sadness, an agmas nefesh. But you rip an undershirt, guy's like, my undershirt, big deal. It was just there to catch the sweat. But that doesn't take away necessarily from the shame beged. So what Rav Chaim Kineski is doing over here, very subtly, he's taking two sugyas and bringing them together, to which you can ask the obvious question, which people do ask on him, is mechates the two sugyas of talos abizet. That's question number one you can ask on Rav Chaim Kineski, which they do. They ask him this.
Wouldn't that be maybe an opportunity for winter or summer?
Perhaps.
Right.
So then you can argue that in the winter, then it's not a beged zeya. It's taka beged of hano. That would be enough kamino. The other question he asked of Chaim Kineski is that it's against the Tor. The Tor happened to have been the same person who said that there's no chiyuv kriya on an undershirt. Yet the Tor in Simon Ches in number 4 says mefurish that on a chalukah, which we assume means an undershirt, there is a chiyuv tzitzis. If you look at number 4, the Tor writes im yitzel esatev miyad bekayim. If he's talking about something completely different, he's talking about if a person wants to put on tzitzis in the morning when he gets up, kidei shayel chayav amos b'tzitzis, oy sheyesh tzitzis bechalukai. If he has tzitzis on his chalukai, which we assume means his undershirt, yochel lov shem miyad b'lo brach. So they ask Rav Chaim Kineski these two questions. Question number one is, why is the sugya of Kriya the same sugya as tzitzis? And secondly, l'shitascha, why does the Torah say a chalukah, which we assume means an undershirt, why is an undershirt chayim and tzitzis if it's just a beged zeya? And according to Rav Chaim Kineski, it should be part. So they ask this to him. Number 5. I saw that you wrote that you shouldn't wear your tzitzis on directly on your body. Because we don't want it to turn into an undershirt. Because an undershirt is part of tzitzis. But the Torah that I just quoted earlier says beforeish that a chalukah is chayv and tzitzis. So what's the easy answer out? What are you going to have to say? we're going to argue what the definition of a chaluk is. I said chaluk is an undershirt. He'll tell you chaluk is not an undershirt. It's a shirt that goes on top of the undershirt. So when the Torah said that a chaluk is obligated in tzitzis, that's because a chaluk is not an undershirt. Chaluk is a different baggage. Now they bring a raya from the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, which I don't think is some of the first, which is why I didn't put it on the sheets. With the Mishnah Berurah also supposed to allude to the fact that a chaluk is a undershirt, but I didn't see it to be some of the first. But that's what Chaim Kanevsky's answer back. Right, because someone over there, what you're allowed to, what's considered a big dezeya with regard to this halacha. So it's interesting. That's what Chaim Kanevsky's answer. His answer is that you don't understand what a chaluk is. A chaluk is not an undershirt. Fine. What's the next question? When number six, the second kasha they have on Rechaim Kanevsky is what I mentioned to you, is that Rechaim Kanevsky brought a rai from a Russian Moed Katan, who says that a apir kosan is part of an akriel fish and oisin lozlevisha lokablazeya. So you need to fumil bushov, because it's only there to catch the sweat. So your other clothing don't become dirty. Frek, the shoyal to Rechaim Kanevsky, the loyla mikri beggar rak the part of akriel fish and a beggar choshev. Basically, they're asking on Reb Chaim Kanevsky's assumption. Reb Chaim Kanevsky took two sugyas in Shas. One sugya is Hilchas Kriya, and one sugya is Hilchas Tzitzis. And Reb Chaim Kanevsky said, well, the same way, you don't have to do Kriya on an undershirt, which is the way we pass it. I'm not changing. No one's denying the Mitzis. We pass it in Allah Almighty, there is no Chi of Kriya on an undershirt. But the question is, what does that have to do with Hilchas Tzitzis? Tzitzis is not totally in, Tzitzis is totally in a shame beged. Maybe a vada and undershirt's a beged. So why don't you have to rip it? Because it's not a beged chashuv. By tzitzis, you need to have a beged. It says in the pasuk, "Al kanfei big dehem." By kriya, it's not about a shame beged. By kriya, it's about a shame beged choshuv. So avad and undershirt is not a beged choshuv, but it's still a beged. So what's his answer? Ein alzeh shame beged l'chein in choshuv. So Chaim Kanevsky says, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that since it's not choshuv because it's not a beged. You can argue. You can definitely argue on that point. His assumption is, again, the whole sugya gets off the ground because Chaim Kanevsky is assuming that a beged shel zeya is not chayiv in tzitzis. Who told him it's not chayiv in tzitzis? Because we see it's not chayiv in kriya. So that's a big jump. So Chaim Kanevsky's answer is, yeah, the reason why it's not chayiv in kriya is because it's not a beged. Maybe it's not chayiv in kriya because it's not a beged choshev. So Chaim Kanevsky's answer is, it's not a beged, but lechein it's not choshev. You can definitely argue on that premise. So they asked him another question. Frekta, another shayla to Reb Chaim Kanevsky. If you're right that you're not supposed to put your tzitzis directly on your chest, why does no one bring it down? It's not in Shulchan Aruch. It's not in Ramah. It's not in Mishnah Berurah. It's not in Chayyadim. Why did no one till now ever think about this idea that, by the way, you shouldn't put your tzitzis on your beged? So we would have said because it's a raya. That's not a problem. So to Reb Chaim Kanevsky, no, you're talking shizeh pashut. The Mefarshim didn't have to write it because it's so simple. Avadi, you shouldn't wear your tzitzis directly on your bag, on your body. Okay, that's what Chaim Kanevsky answered. It's a chiddush to me. It's definitely a chiddush to me. It's a big chiddush to say again. Bishlama, if you're talking about the undershirt tzitzis, so there, Chaim Kanevsky says the undershirt tzitzis is like an undershirt to beg and say. To me, that's not necessarily the same thing as when I take my regular tzitzis and for one day put it on my chest. That's just because today I'm not in the mood of an undershirt. It doesn't make it now a beg and say. But I'm talking about the beg. You put the beg straight on. You cut out the undershirt. You put the tzitzis directly on your chest.
The beged,
yeah. So that Reb Chaim Kanevsky thinks is a tzarachin. He's not so keen. He thinks that's a problem. Why? Because then you turned it into an undershirt. I would argue you didn't turn it into an undershirt. It's still a tzitzis. It's still a beged. Again, the same question I'd ask. What happens the one day a guy decides not to wear an undershirt? You told me...
What happens to that beged?
Right. So let's say, LaMarshall, a guy the day Nebuchadnezzar loses a relative, that day he decides not to wear an undershirt. And he wears just a button-down shirt. You can tell me he doesn't have to decree on that. I find it hard to imagine. So again, there's two chiddushim from this Reb Chaim Kanevsky. Chiddush number one is where he's against the undershirt tzitzis because he holds by definition it's a beged zeya. And chiddush number two is if I take regular tzitzis and for one day wear them on my body, that also becomes a beged zeya. So let's see one more question, two more questions from Reb Chaim Kanevsky. Number eight. Bahanal l'chayr yishloim, the dafka beged asui l'kabal azeya in loshem beged. He asked my question. Meaning, if you take an undershirt tzitzis, and the whole makeup of the undershirt was to gufa be a beged zeya, so I can hear you want a taina that's part of the tzitzis. Avol talis katan shalonu shekol levishasa ukedei lekayim b'mitzvah tzitzis. Af omnam de gesholov shal gufa mekal b'zeya, but a regular beged that you buy in the store, which is a fully functioning garment, but I punk today decide to wear it on my body, and today it will function as a mekabel azeya. So they asked Rav Chaim Kaniewski, which I think is a very fair question. Maybe ein achanami, I'll give it to you that if you wear the undershirt tzitzis, you're running into a shaila. But if I wear a regular pair of tzitzis and just one day I decide not to wear the undershirt, it now becomes a beged zeah. So what does he answer? Ein kavona kevas rak hametzias. He says, well, if it's on your body, it becomes an undershirt. That's it. So again, that's what I asked before. According to Rav Chaim Kaniewski, the guy puts on a shirt one day without an undershirt, so that shirt now becomes a beged zeah. It's all very hard to imagine.
Termination of baguette, right? Honestly, today, at least today's society, right? So they say, okay, I know they're talking about size. But after you get out of the size issue, it's not a baguette. In other words, in today's society,
art scissors, you mean?
Right,
it's not.
It's just not a
thing. That's what we learned in the first week. We basically came out to the conclusion, like Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, that being that we wear just for the mitzvah, that's what gives it its chashivas.
Right. So now, if you apply that, let me talk about bag.
No, but he'll say, if you take that bag and you put it directly on your body, you just turned it into an undershirt. We'd say, no, it's not an undershirt. Again, in his very short answer, he's basically saying that it's not totally in what it is, it's totally in how you use it. And if for a day you use it as an undershirt, it becomes an undershirt. The whole question was mechatesa. The whole question was, no, it's not an undershirt. It's a baguette that was used one day. But that's his hachra. Then he asks one more time. Let's say a guy normally wears his talus cotton close to his body. Can he like one day wear it on his chest? This is our case. Once in a while. So he says, Yachol, that you could do. That he holds you could do. So according to Mechanic, let's say, for example, you're short undershirts. No undershirts in the laundry. So for one day you want to do it, that's okay. But if you're going to do it every single day, then he says, then you turn it into... So there's three madrigas. There's undershirt tzitzis, where the whole beged was made just, I guess I'll argue, was made to be an undershirt, which is a beged zeah. Then there's a regular pair of tzitzis where you use it every day as an undershirt. Then there's a regular tzitzis that you use once in a while as an undershirt. So the first two of Chaim Kaniewski holds is also the last one he holds would be permissible. Now if you look over here, number 10, he speaks out over here. The mashikas of Rabbeinu Shlita denochel nizor shalov shatas katan samim l'chumsari mamish. Again, this is where a lot of people make the mistake. What's wrong with wearing the talis katan on your body? Eina tamishum davi bizoi mitzvah. It's not because it's degrading to the tzitzis to be on your body. Mashinim tza talis katan agufim mamish. Again, Reb Chaim Kaniewski is not against that there's some spiritual svar over here that you can't have the beggar touch your body because your body is sweaty and disgusting and therefore it affects the beggar. That's not the pshat. Because Reb Chaim Kaniewski thinks you should sweat in your tzitzis. So what is his pshat? His problem is that if you wear it on your body, you turn it into an undershirt. And undershirts are potem and tzitzis. Therefore, if I only do ba'akroy, I only do once in a while, I don't turn it into an undershirt. And therefore, he permits it. So halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, there are plenty of people who wear their, at least in the summer, who wear their tzitzis directly on their body. So according to Reb Chaim Kaniewski, if you're only doing it, I guess, sometimes and not all times, it's not as bad. But if a person's going to wear it every single day, that could run into a problem. Now,
So you could wear a four-quartered undershirt and not put tzitzis.
Correct. According to this, it's not a beged. It's only a beged zeya, a beged. Now, you could argue on Reb Chaim Kaniewski's sushtel, which probably people do, that he's comparing the sugya of kriya to the sugya of tzitzis, but that's Reb Chaim Kaniewski's opinion. Now, there are those who come with a different angle. Again, tzad number one to be against, we'll call the undershirt tzitzis slash tzitzis directly in your body, is because you turn it into a beged zeah, and a beged zeah is part of the tzitzis. Then there's the pre-Eitz Chaim from the Arizal. So he writes like this, number 11. He says, this is from Reb Chaim Vital, quotes from the Arizal. He says over here, Ki atalus gadol hu lemala mikol hamulvashim, v'atalus katan hu tachas kol hamavushim. The talus katan has to be under all your clothing. And not like those people who put it on top of their clothing. And that's a mistake. You put it on your cholok. What's your cholok? Presumably it sounds like an undershirt. So there are those one who died from that Rizal. He never once says that you could put it directly on your body. He keeps on saying it should go under your clothing, but he never once says not so mefurish exactly, that he says it can't go on your body. He just talks about where it goes comparative to the clothing. But there are those who want to tell you that the Arizal was against putting it, you know, he writes, Vatazo, Tachas Kolam Abushim, should be under your clothing. Not like those people put it on top of all the clothing, like many chassidim do almost that. It should go on the cholok. They say, what do you mean? Why do you have to go on the cholok? Why can't it go on your gufoi? So I would answer, because maybe it's uncomfortable to go directly on your body. I don't know. But they want to bring a raya from the Arizal, that the Arizal held it should bedavka not go on your body. To me, it's not the strongest of rayas. If you turn to the next side, they quote from Dayan Fisher, Evan Yisrael, in the Tshuva, where he writes, Hine ledati, my opinion is, lasis is a dal kanfois mi beged asomach l'guf shenikra gufoi, to make tzitzis out of a beged that goes directly on your body, which we call undershirt tzitzis blaz, shum esmale zeyem bimois hakaitz, it gets filled with sweat during the summer, shenasa l'kach de lisvig hazey, it's made for that purpose, to absorb the sweat, zehu derech bizoyin l'mitzvah tzitzis. Again, not like Reb Chaim Kanievsky that held that a beged zeyah is not called a beged. He goes the other route, it's a bizoyin. It's a bizoyin for mitzvah tzitzis, ve'in enochel masis kin. And it's not correct to do it. Now, this sefer that I've been using for tzitzis, I'm not going to say the name of the sefer, because I take some issues with some of the stuff he writes. He has an agenda, in my opinion. He's against the undershirt tzitzis, clearly. So he ties another reason. So he says, okay, let's go the reason why undershirt tzitzis are bad. So either Reb Chaim Kanievsky's reason, because a beged zeyah is not considered a beged, or the Arizal, who doesn't say anything about, who's very clear that you put it on your undershirt, lafuke your body, which is not a clear raya at all. Then you have Dayan Fisher. Dayan Fisher said you're not supposed to put it directly on your body. Fine. And then he says, I have another reason why you shouldn't wear undershirt tzitzis. Oh, what's this reason? Because we know there's a big, big discussion by tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah. Those are the three mitzvahs where the Torah says, l'man tizkru. You specifically have to know what you're doing. When you put on your tzitzis, your talis gadol, your talis katan, you're supposed to know exactly why you're doing it. You're putting on there's three famous mitzvahs, talis, tefillin, and sukkah. Are the three mitzvahs where you have to know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, it's questionable how much you fulfilled the mitzvah. I always throw this out in my shul, Sukkot time. I said, I always ask this question the first night of Sukkot. How is it possible you can build the most kosher mechudah dikah sukkah with ala chumra, everything under the sun? You sit there, you're in the sukkah, the schach is kosher, there's no shlak, and you're not yet to the mitzvah. It's impossible. The answer is according to, not everyone agrees to this, but at least according to one sheet of achrayim, if you don't have the right kavon. If you don't sit in the sukkah with the kavon of the man yedu derasech, keep a sukkah seshav des b'nei Yisrael, according to the Aruch Lener, you're not yoytzei mitzvah, which is unbelievable. You're actually not yoytzei mitzvah. Yeah, which means two things, possibly. You're not yoytzei mitzvah, and kenzan, you're also eating outside the sukkah. So it's a double whammy. So it's a shot to spend all that time, money, and effort building a sukkah, and still not be yoytzei mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah paskins in Hilchos Sukkah that you're yoytzei, but not yoytzei fully. Even that's a shot. You spent all that time and effort on the sukkah, and you're not getting 100% credit. It's a shame. So the same thing is by talis and tefillin. Talis and tefillin also says l'man tizku. So that's why by talis and tefillin, you also have to have kavanah when you put it on. That's why many people are knowing to say the hinani muchan l'shem yichud before. Because that l'shem yichud is supposed to create in your mind that idea of kavanah. Okay, we've spoken about this before. Moshe Steinbuch. What? The Navi Yehuda was against all l'shem yichuds. Why especially by Sfiras Omer?
I think because he says, because the whole reason of Sfiras Omer is that you have to count,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Now you're saying the whole Lashem Yichud, the way it says, it was Sfarta, blah, 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 so it takes away any das you have to have by the mitzvah of counting. You just said the whole das.
In the Tshuva from the Nayi Behuda that I saw inside, I don't remember him, it could be he did. His time they held that all the Shem Yichuds are unnecessary because all the Kavanah was in the Bracha.
Right.
So anyway, so he writes, whenever there's a mitzvah without a Bracha, then you have to do some form of the Shem Yichud. I don't remember, maybe he says that in truth, I don't remember.
Right.
The Shem Yichud by Sphere is more problematic because you say the words, Hinni Muchum Zum Lekai Mitzvah Saseh. And there's a big machlokes b'shoyim if Sfiras Daraisa or the Rabbanon. Right. That we've spoken about before, I know, in different shurim. So that's why Sfiras Daraisa. I don't remember that it could be the...
He also says because
I remember.
The reason is because you're supposed to have kavanah with the bracha,
right,
and not like everything else.
All right, that's what he writes. He writes that Anshe Knesset Gedolah are very smart people, and when they and all the kavanahs were injected into the bracha. So yes, the Noidim Yehuda was tamazeh against all the Shem Yichuds. Yeah. By anything.
In the morning.
Oh, really? Not? Even my talisman's phone, they took it out?
Yeah,
you took it, really?
Yeah, they may have it in the back.
Ah, really? Because the Noidi Behuda. It was funny, I prepared this whole sugya on Sfiras HaOmer to talk about this, and I had a chassidish, the Slalom Rebbe's grandson came to my shul. Slalom Rebbe's grandson, the Siva Shalom's grandson. So I said to myself, how am I going to talk about this in front of a chassidish guy like this? He's going to burn me over. So Baruch Hashem, he left before I gave the shiur. I'm so nervous. So how am I going to give a shiur? Azad Lutzmish shiur that we're against L'Shem Yichuz and this and that and the other. He's a chashiv. This guy happens to be a big time chacham. He's a Rosh Hashiva now in the Slalom Yeshiva. But, it's a different world. For us Ashkenazim, it's very by the book. We don't say L'Shem Yichuz, but that's the Nadi Behuda. So, what do you do with Tzitzis Tefillin? You gotta have a kavanah. So you're supposed to have kavanah when you do these things. So there's a famous Chai Adam. Now the truth is, without getting into all the sugya, because we've discussed all of these things in the past, there's an old machloekis we're saying about mitzvah tzvichas kavanah and mitzvah tzvichas kavanah. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin in Semen Samach that it depends if it's a deraisa or derabon. If it's a deraisa, we paskin mitzvah tzvichas kavanah. If it's a derabon, a mitzvah tzvichas kavanah. Now just on a side note, it comes out like this. If let's say, for example, you put on a cotton pair of tzitzis, so a cotton pair of tzitzis, if you hold like the mechaber, is only mechuyev midrabbanan. So if it's only mechuyev midrabbanan, for mitzvah midrabbanan, we pass mitzvah zayin tzvichas kavanah. So that might be a perk of wearing cotton tzitzis, because then it's, again, tzitzis is unique because it might have its own das, but on a mitzvah deraisa level, it might be different. So the Chayyadim comes up with a chap that everyone quotes, where the Chayyadim writes the following. He says, number it's a difficult chayadim, but we'll just read it. He says in number 13, Tsar Sheikhav and Lotse's mitzvahs, you have to have in mind to do the mitzvah. Okay, the Kaim of the mitzvah zichas kavan. Vedavka mitzvah deraisa, vedrabbanan yasa filu beloy kavan. Venerly. You know when you need to have kavana? When you're going against the tide. You're not doing what everyone else is doing. But you guys sitting in shul, everyone else is davening, and you're davening also. So again, if I asked you, if I got into your brain and asked you, what are you thinking about the answer? You think about nothing. But Dr. Chayadim, vibalt, you're doing what everyone else is doing. V'chein kishocha matzah. You're sitting around the Seder table, it's Pesach night, and everyone's eating matzah. So you're eating matzah also. Oy toka, or the shoifa, v'not the lulav, ava bishul ekivein, lotzeis yotza. Why? Shem shum ze oysa kide lotzeis ava bishin mechavim. You're doing what everyone else is doing, and since you're doing the action that everyone else is doing, that's good enough, says the Chayodim, to be considered kavan. Okay, again, very difficult Chayodim to be masbah. Right, right. The fact that you're doing what everyone else is doing somehow gives it a chashivas amais. So this fellow wants the taina, but if you're going to put on undershirt tzitzis, you're not doing, you're totally putting on the tzitzis just to be an undershirt. Mele, even the Chayodim wouldn't justify that. I mean, Bishlam, if I put on my talis, so everyone puts on a talis. Here, I'm not putting on a talis. I'm putting on an undershirt. Grab my undershirt, that happens to have tzitzis on it. So that when you're putting on the undershirt, you're not thinking about the mitzvah of tzitzis at all. Mechatesa. Maybe when I look at the street, I say, hey, there's tzitzis on my undershirt. Right. Why am I wearing this undershirt versus that undershirt? Again, that's why I think he has an agenda, my humble opinion. So I don't think that would be a problem either. Now the truth is, if we just round off with the early turn, Rabbi Shaul writes Mefurish, he says, when we call Mokim in Lochush as a tzitzit, in a tzitzit, no yigim a basar. There is no problem if the tzitzit touch your body. Kamashkas Rabbi Shaul shows Beradar, ki a tzitzit tashmish a mitzvah, ve'im bakdush is a guf, ve'yachol lova betalas mitzuyetzis, lebes a kise, lebes a tvidlu, shtamish bol lachasis, but ever. Again, we'll talk about this more in the next booklet. What exactly is the role of the tzitzit? What do they consider? Are they tashmish a kdush or tashmish a mitzvah?
What he's saying though is,
tuck the tzitzis into your pants. Right, that's fine. Which is the Svarim, I got a very makbid on this. The Svarim, a very makbid to keep the tzitzis tucked in. But he also seems to be talking about even if the beggar were to touch the bus. So again, halach l'maisa. I don't think it's the end of the world if a person, again, I don't chas v'shalom to argue with Chaim Kinevsky, but again, he was very concerned about putting your tzitzis directly on your basar. But there are other poskim that had no real problem, and Diane Fisher as well. But again, according to Diane Fisher, it's only going to be in a way that you're going to sweat profusely. But if it's not going to be so sweaty.
Are they mechalik between the beged and the tzitzis?
No.
Same thing.
Be the same thing, yeah. So again, halacha l'maisa in the summer, it might be something to think about. Again, these achrayim are very against the undershirt tzitzis. I don't know if I'm so against it. I don't know if it's so. I don't know. My son has these undershirt tzitzis. We treat it like any other. We don't treat it like a begadzeah. We treat it like any other tzitzis pair that we would have. So I asked my wife, why did you talk about him undershirt tzitzis? Someone told her that's what boys wear today. They wear undershirt tzitzis. I don't know. I don't know if I'd be so against it. I don't know if it's. I don't look at it as a begadzeah. I look at it as any other shirt that he wears. The truth is, Rav Moshe Feinstein held, Rabbi Felder quotes this from Rav Moshe, a big chiddush. Rav Moshe held, let's say, for example, during the 9 days. You're not allowed to wear freshly laundered during the 9 days. So Rav Moshe held t-shirts are not included in freshly laundered. Because they're right to big day. Rav Moshe held a t-shirt's a big day. Rav Moshe said, unless it has a collar. Now, which is funny because you have polo shirts that have collars also. But if it doesn't have a collar, then it's not. It's a beged zeh. A t-shirt's a beged zeh. A t-shirt's a t-shirt. People wear t-shirts today. So it's not clear to me how exactly we're magged. What's a big day zeh?
Between an undershirt versus a t-shirt. You know, it's a t-shirt is a colored garment that you can wear outside.
But that Ramosha also called a beged zeh. Ramosha the t-shirt's a beged zeh.
No, I'm saying even if you wear, let's say, like a collared undershirt, yeah? You know, if you wear a collared undershirt, like, you know, the dry fits that everybody wears.
Yeah.
Right? That's definitely a beged zeh.
Right.
Right? But you wear that outside.
Right.
So I would think that you can't put on a new one, but versus an undershirt, you know,
But according to Rav Moshe, a t-shirt, which you're wearing on a third layer, he also called that a beged zeh. I'm not sure why it's a beged zeh. That's your beged. I'm not sure.
So your underwear and socks also? Then?
Yeah, that's all beged zeh. Yeah. That's all beged zeh. Socks are beged zeh, undershirts are beged zeh. That's for sure beged zeh. His chiddush is that even...
That you were freshly worn, not that you get worn.
That's right. The chiddush of Moshe is that he held a t-shirt to beged zeh. I don't have a hard time understanding. Okay, so halacha lemaisa, we wrapped up talking about what garments to buy, wearing them on your chest. Rabbi Rudinsky says that he in the summer he's makbet to wear his bag of talis katan on his chest, and he says something very very brazen. He says there's no mekar anywhere in halacha that you're not allowed to put your tzitzit directly on your bag. Now he's not wrong because it doesn't say it mefurish anywhere. But Chaim Kadeski was very against it. On your skin, he says it's mamish. It's ignorance. People tell you it's mamish not true. There's no mucker. Mamish was going on a tyrant. There's no mucker anywhere that says you can't put it on. It's not true. He says fakert. I think it's better because now I'm using the baghead to protect me. Now. Okay, I'm not saying, you know, he has the utmost respect for Chaim Kanevsky like the rest of us do. He speaks of him very highly, so I don't think he probably didn't know this, I guess, but Chaim Kanevsky does take issue with that. But again, I'll leave that.
What was your
reason? He held it becomes a beged zeh, and if it's a beged zeh, it's not chayav in tzitzis.
So therefore, according to Chaim, you cannot wear just your tzitzis on your body.
Correct. That's what Chaim Kanevsky writes.
He says
he does it. He says in the summer, Bidafka does it because he holds in the summer based on Tosfos and Nida that we spoke about last week. That if you're wearing an undershirt, so what is the tzitzis doing? It's not serving any purpose. So the truth is, Chaim Kanevsky also acknowledges that we mentioned that he acknowledges if you do it bakroi, you do it once in a while, but to do it all the time, maybe he'll be mechab between the winter and the summer. Okay, not sure. So that's something we'll leave everyone to decide. So now next time you go into the swarm store, now you're armed and dangerous with information. If you want to buy wool, you want to buy cotton, you want to buy the mesh, that you'll have to decide based on what we came out with the last couple of weeks. So now let's just talk about something else interesting about the talus. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch number 15, the Mechaber writes, Yeshayimim shetzorech la'asus hatzitzis mitzeva hatalus. The strings have to be the same color as the beged. And the frumas are makbid on this. We're on source 15 on the one-sided page. We're going to start giving directions over here. This is a little bit more complicated. The one-sided page, source 15. This is the mechab in Shulchan Aruch Simen Tes Sif Hey. As the mechab quotes Yeshayim that you're supposed to have the same color tzitzis as you do for the beged. The hagova Ashkenazim ein noigim lasis at tzitzis rak levonim. Us Ashkenazim, we don't make it match. We always have strings that are white. Even if the beged will be colored, doesn't matter. We don't change. So we have a shaila of whether or not the beged and the tzitzis have to be the same material. Obviously, for those people that have tchelas,
same color.
If you have tchelas, right, I haven't seen too many people that wear a blue beged. So Mr. Brewer explains over here what's this inyan. That's why you're beautiful. You know, things matching is a nice thing. Because we made the Gemara Menachas of the Drasha min hakonaf that the beged and the tzitzit should be the same material. Here we're saying they should be the same color. Okay. V'afu begadim tzivuim mikomokim roy l'medakti lasis davka dal kanfis oy talis cotton lovin. You should really be makbid to have white. Kadesh yotzi they are called kishiyas tzitzit lavanim. So here the Mishnah Berurah says that the minhag is that we have white. So this way we have white tzitzit and a white beged. Another pasuk v'uvusher kitalak chiyur. One second. You told me now that we want our beged to be white. All our begotim, says the Mishnah Berurah, have some blue somewhere in it. We'll see what he means by blue. So how is our tzitzis white? So he writes, "Baser ikra beged azlinan." You go after the ikra, And since the majority of the beged is white, even though we have black parts going through it, that's good enough. So if you look over in the Leket Yosha, this is from the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen. He writes, "V'zechrani, I remember to have a mahadal atorah betalis achar meshi shehi tzavua tcheles shekoy in himel bloy oishar blue." That he had somewhere in the talis, he had a blue color going through the talis, which is what we have today. Now we don't have blue, we have black. That everyone tries to figure out. The black stripe that we have running through our talus is based on this Trumas Hadeshen. It's supposed to be a zeicher to tchelis. Since we don't have the tchelis strings, we want to remind everyone that there's a concept called tchelis. So what everyone tries to figure out is, so why is it black? It should be blue. So it's a good question. No one has a great answer to this question. It should be blue. I think that's the more correct way. All of ours today is black. So they say the Rambam, there's a famous Rambam, when the Rambam discusses tchelis, he makes it sound like it's a more blackish color. So they say that's what they mean. But Lamaisa, that's the Makar. So the Prima Gadam also brings it down. He says, "I know the Rabbi Shem Avi Zekenai Hagoyin Talus Yoru Kanukur Bloy Bloshen Ashkenaz Zechelat Chelus V'Cheinogim B'Talisa Shalonu." That's what we do in our Talus. V'Ato Nogu B'Talus Koten Svasa Beged Bloy. We put a little bit on the edge of it. We have blue. Now the Aruch HaShulchan says number 19. V'Zeh Shano Oisim B'Miktas Atalisa Is Mari Rekia. That we have some marikia is blue, right? Something to remind us of the sky, which is blue. The kernel is at chelus, who lenoi ba'alma. That's to make it look beautiful. The ikrei mara loven kiyuduk. He's bothered with the same kasha that Mr. Brewer had. I thought he's supposed to have roiv. I thought the bag is supposed to be white. Says the shor chashuch. No, but you're putting in the blue to make it look nice, then it's mutter. Why it looks nice, I'm not exactly sure. And then the Mishnah writes again on the bottom that even if you have a beged, and this is what I mentioned last week, that some of the begadim are not 100% wool. They're only some. So Mishnah Brewer says, as long as it's roif. As long as roif of the beged is wool, it's called a wool beged. Same thing with the white. As long as roif of the beged is white, it's considered a white beged. But another next week, when we're going to get into the question about wearing an atarah. We'll get into that very, very complicated shayla about why some people wear an atarah, they don't wear an atarah, the silver, they're not the silver, right? All those touchy topics. We'll see that one of the arguments they make is, but if you're going to put an atarah on your talus, so it's not going to be fully wool anymore. It's not wool with silver in it. Especially if you get the real fancy one that's woven into the beged. Not like the silver plate that you connect to the beged. So the shayla is, it's megareya from the shame wool. The answer is no, because it's still roif. Roif of the beged is wool. It's good enough. But if you ever see a svadish atalus, it's completely white. Why the svadish atalus completely white? So if you look in the Shari Tshuva, he writes...
Does anyone go to test what... It's not really white. It's like an off-white. It's almond. It's not a... No. It's not, the talasim are not pure white.
Yeah, it looks white to me. Why off-white? Why? Svardim
actually is white.
Right. Svardim actually have a white palette.
The tits are...
No, I'm talking about the beged. The beged's white.
No, it's not.
It's not white?
No. Yellowish, exactly. It's a yellowish tinge. You know, the Svardim were mamish white.
I don't know. I guess that's...
You know, like the satin reform ones? That color?
Right.
The Svardim were in wool.
You ask somebody what that is, they'll tell you it's white.
Yeah, I would think it's white. I don't know.
You better not be a painter.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So the Shari Tshuva brings down such a shita like that. He quotes a Yamsha Shloima, who says, "She'in lasis talis godol mitzeve yoruk l'chavid yomtiv, ela kashe nogu betalis lovin. V'alf betalis kotin yesh makbidim dafka belevonim. V'yesh linoik shloi lasis shum tfir betalis v'arbechut levonim." That you should taka have white. So the truth is, many years ago, I had a chavush of mine who introduced me to this, on the talis kotin, if you buy a wool talis kotin, right, so you have the black line, sticks out in a white shirt. So he introduced me to buying the white, like the Svardim. Which is not so posh, because again, it's not the end of the world, because it could be, once you have it on your talis gold, you don't need it on your talis cotton also. But it could be that it's not correct. Maybe on your talis cotton, your shtaka should have the black going through the middle, to be mekayim this idea of zeichel tchelis. Now it's funny, the cotton doesn't have anything. So I guess they hold it's not such an issue, but the cotton doesn't have any colors on it. On the wool, they have black going through the middle, but you can get white. This way it doesn't stick out when you're wearing a white shirt. But the Svardim ataka makbid gomer to have only white on their talus and their talus cotton. That's what they quote from Yakut Yosef. Yesha makbidim lasis gufa talus vachutin shalatzitis hakolovin. Bein betalus godol, bein betalus cotton. Remez ledova vayu atufim lelovin. Atufim was over there, was talking about speckled, but here, I guess to be otuf, to be wrapped in your talus, is lovin. V'tzeva halovin hu rachamim, because we also know white is rachamim. V'tzeva adam hu din. U'lechein toiv lizor shal yebeg atzitis tzevua ba'adam. Okay, so that's why Svaradim have fully white and us Ashkenazim have a black stripe going across it, but it really should be a blue stripe, and that's there just as a zecher to the tchelas. just to wrap up what we were supposed to get to last week, he has a cute shiloh over here. Have you ever watched some of these people that tell you like dirty? Especially, you know, when we used to have more kedushim and shul. So the guy, he's got his kugel on his chant. He's got the chalant on there. He's got this. His talus is no longer clean. So they asked him like this. He was talking about a more, you know, normal case. In mishpach tseva oidiyoy achodet tzitzis. Let's say something spills on the strings. V'nitzvay now becomes dyed. V'nat tseva oivra oidiyah kvisa. It doesn't come out on the wash. Is there a problem if your tzitzis are not... A guy dips his tzitzis into paint. Okay, you know, color war is coming up now, right? He decides he wants to prove his loyalty to whatever team he's on. He dips his tzitzis into, you know, now he's got blue tzitzis. Now he's a tchelos guy. He's got blue tzitzis, right? So he dips it into red. So he writes over here, B'ram lechatchi levadi yirish yilavon, levadi should be white. K'mesh kasev ramosham d'ashkenazim oisim atzitzis rak levonim. V'ayin sham, the k'shem shei mara broin, oi k'mara offer, oi k'mara, they quote from the Eishlav Rom from Bechacha. So Bechacha talks about what happens when things just naturally turn colors. Over time, right, sweat, and they turn yellow, they turn brown. So he says that's not a problem. But zeh b'chol shini marav yesh anoyim zeh chatchilo, ach b'ma shenas ayde yoshon kemara gal, ay achas mimara sanal, mogu shol hakba b'zeh. He says if it turns like yellowish or just that, that's not a problem. But he writes, l'chatchili chabes, you should try to wash it, v'men atzeva over yochol leilich behem v'en atzorech lachlifim b'levonim, you don't have to buy new pair of tzitzis. But again, obviously Zakeh Maveo plays this nice role over here. You should try to keep your tzitzis white and clean at all times. Okay. He's a Pinchas gross. He's a Belzadayin. Okay. I forget if his name is Pinchas, I think it's something else. Maybe it's something else. But he's a Belzadayin in Eretz Yisrael today. Okay, let's now talk about what we were really supposed to talk about when we started this topic 3 weeks ago. The Shaila of Hesach Hadas with your tzitzis. Right, this comes in many, many different Shailas. It comes with the Italis Katan, and it comes with the Italis Gadol also. Right, let's say, for example, you go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom in the middle of davening. You take off your talis. Or we'll talk about, let's say, Rosh Hashanah Kippur time. You have a bigger break where you take off your talis. Or we'll talk about a shayla people don't think about. Let's say you take your talis to give someone a talis to get an aliyah. Right? Or in Eretz Yisrael, it's morning gay, you give your talis so a kohen can go duchen. Or you give your aliyahs to a single guy to go make an aliyah. Do you have to make another bracha when you put your talis back on? So let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes the following. Ches, this is Shulchan Aruch, Simon Ches, Sif Yudal. In Pasha Talis, if a person takes off his talis, and you plan on putting it on immediately afterwards, you must make another bracha when you put it back on. End the story. Hagah says, Ramo, no, you don't have to make a bracha if you had das to put it on. So we have a right away of Machlokes Mechab and Ramah. Difference between Sfarim and Ashkenazim. So now it gets even more complicated. Let's say, right, again, you have to remember, people don't focus on this enough. Moshe Weiss pointed this out once, but it's so important. For hundreds of thousands of years, Ashkenazim and Sfarim never davened in the same mishmeres. Never. They lived in the same communities, but they never davened in the same shuls. Today, Baruch Hashem, the way Klal Yisrael is, we daven with Sfarim and Sfarim daven with us. So what's going to happen if a guy gets an aliyah, so he can borrow a talis from a Sephardi guy, he can borrow a talis from an Ashkenazi guy. If he borrows a talis from the Sephardi guy has to make another bracha. If he borrows a talis from the Ashkenazi guy, Ashkenazi doesn't make a bracha. Who should offer his talis first? Or they even ask Chaim Kanevsky, maybe I should never offer my talis to someone who needs an aliyah, because I'm losing a few minutes of being Mekayim the Mitzvah. That's a real... So Chaim Kanevsky answered him, Chesed. So he said, what are you talking about? The biggest mitzvah in the world is to be about chesed. So give the guy a talis, that's already chesed. So the truth is, we didn't speak about this. I don't know if we're going to get to it, because I think next week will be our last topic on talis. A very important shaila is, let's say, for example, a shul like this, the Young Israel Woodmere, where everyone pays membership, halavai, everyone pays membership, right? So those who pay membership, presumably, the talisim belong to the tzibur, which means it belongs to me. So if I get up to get an aliyah or I down for the omid, why don't I make a bracha on that talis? Why don't you make a bracha? It's your talis. Again, if you put your talis on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, presumably you make a bracha also. So the answer is because you're only wearing it for kavarat zibur. I'm not wearing it to be in the midst of talis gadol. I'm doing it because I'll covet. The shaila is maybe that's not a svara. Again, if you daven in a shtibul where the Rebbe owns everything, he lets you come use it. So it's his talis. It's a talis shula. Oh, that's because it's nighttime. But I'm saying, let's say mincha. A guy davens a mincha, or let's say, for example, a guy is balkeire, so he's going to lean. So he usually the balkeire is a married fellow. But let's say these types of things. So most people do not make a bracha on it, even though the talis is theirs, belongs to them. So if they don't pay membership, okay, that doesn't belong to them. The shayla is maybe the shul still makne to you, so you can use. So granted, by me in yeshiva, by us in yeshiva, they makne that the, if a person is going to get an aliyah, or a person is about kairi, he takes makes a bracha on the talis before he puts it on. The guy daven shachris, the bacher daven shachris, he makes an atif and he makes a bracha on that talis before he daven shachris. Huh? The tzibur's, the yeshiva's talis. The bacher paid tuition. So it's tuition money. It's considered a talis shel tzibur. It belongs to everyone.
Somebody comes in as a guest from outside.
So maybe he wouldn't make a bracha, or maybe the yeshiva is makne to him for the duration of the time he uses it.
So how do you makne it on Shabbos?
Okay, so maybe Shabbos they don't do it. I don't know. I'm not sure the din is on Shabbos.
That's I think where we get a hold over here. Is that the talis belong to everybody?
But
nobody.
No one makes a bracha.
No, you can make a bracha.
No, that's if you're borrowing it to use to daven.
Yeah.
I'm talking about if you're going to use it just to get just to daven mincha.
Yeah, that's
covered too. Right.
So, I got him to Shabbos morning.
Right. Right. So the shul's makne him the talis somehow that this way he can make a bracha. Right.
Right.
That's right. But in yeshiva they go a step further. There they make a bracha if you're just a balkayre. Let's say a bacher davens shachris Shabbos morning or during the week. He makes a bracha on the talis before he starts davening because Kalman holds this way. He holds it's not just covered tzibur. He holds it's yod beged. Ibsham Zalman says no. Ibsham Zalman writes before shen halicha shloim that it's just covered tzibur and there's no need to make a bracha. This comes up in a lot of different areas.
Didn't we have a problem with the Ramah saying that if you have dust to take off the talis? Is there a time frame?
Oh, so that's what we need to get to. That's what we're going to hopefully get to Blina the next week. What's the time limit? Right, the lashon of the Ramah is, when? Next week?
I get the 4-hour
break. 5-hour break? It's also very negeah.
I also have kavod about going home.
Right. It's also very negeah to Atzala members. Right, Atzala members, right? A guy who takes an Atzala call. You've got it comes up in a couple cases with Atzala members. Sometimes I see with Atzala members, they take off the towels, anticipating they're going to get a call. They go out and they realize someone else already covered the call. Now they come right back. So what do they do with the towels? So again, so let's start from the beginning. According to the Mechaber, you take off your towels to go to the bathroom, you gotta make another brach. According to Ramah, you don't. If you had daite lachzur l'satev ba, we don't know what time limit. So according to the Mechaber, a guy goes swimming in the summer, takes off his towels cotton to go swimming, gotta make another bracha. He takes, an Ashkenazi takes off his towels cotton to go swimming, not clear. We don't know what the time frame is. Then the Ramah says, v'yeshoyim im davka kishinish olav towels cotton. Some say it's only if he's still wearing his kalas cotton. So again, doesn't change it so much for us because 9 out of 10 times when you're wearing your talis gadol, you're also wearing your talis cotton. Now, I want to talk, Blined, we'll get to this, a shayla that happened to me, B'didi Avi Uvda, on Rosh Chodesh. What happens on Rosh Chodesh? So right before Musaf, you take off your tefillin. I took my talis off also. Right? So now you want to put your talis back on, you have to make another bracha on your talis. So what do you say? No, according to Ramah. But what? Daitei lachzer. There was no daitei lachzer. I thought davening was over. I was hoping davening was over, right? I was done. That's what happens when I daven early. I don't know which way is up, right? I got it. It's fun. I daven my shul daven very early. So every once in a while, someone will ask me like a halacha shayla, like before shachris. I'm like, it's got to be us at the pasuk at this point. I cannot think straight. I'm going on 4 hours of sleep. Give me like 2 hours to wake up, then we can talk again. But like, I'm lucky if I make it to shul and I get through the davening experience. So, you know, I'm dayenu. I'm happy. But l'chayru, if you're daiken the Ramah, the Ramah's case when it was daitei lachzer, not daitei lachzer. I thought it was done. So I grabbed a paskin at the time with my half-baked knowledge and my half being awake. It's like a svek sveka. I don't know if I paskin, right? I don't know if I was awake when I paskin. But okay. I thought avad, you have to make another bracha. It's no shayla. There's no das at all. My das was to finish davening. So we'll see, Blineder, if we get to it tonight, we'll see that it's not so pashut. It's not so posh. I still think that's the halacha, but we'll see not everyone agrees to it. But we got to first figure out, what's this machloekes mechaber Ramah? The mechaber says, I take off my talis miyat to put it back on, I have to make another bracha. Why, says the Mishnah number 2? Afilu nishol of talis kotin. Vafilu take of nisatev ba. I put it back on immediately. V'lo yishinu mekoy meklal, anytime I don't go anywhere. The hapshita gufa hefzik hubazeh. The mechaber holds taking it off as a hefzik. That's an interruption. Finished. Done. End of story. The Ramah says no. She'im of Orchid. Afilu meis ha-pshita lo inisho of talis katan. Let's say, for example, I'm not even wearing a talis katan. V'chein pasku achreinim. But tamme yeshoim hu de kivin de beis ha-pshita he takeif lelov shoyi v'chein aso lo yhave ha-pshita hefzik. Says Mr. Bur, what does Ramah say? What type of hefzik is it? It's such a small window. When I took it off, I planned to put it back on. That's not considered a hefzik. V'afilu m'shinu mekoymet. Let's say I switch locations. Going shapasha doy said the current space that kisev call yitzbe. I want to go to the bathroom. Loy have shinu mokim bezehefs. Kevin shechaz avalovish asoi talis atzmai. Now what are many of you thinking about? So why is tefillin the same? Everyone knows you take off your tzitzis to go to the bathroom, you have to make another bracha. Even though that's not so pashut, maybe one day we'll talk about it. But everyone knows that. That's what they taught you in, you know, in bar mitzvah classes, you know, in tefillin classes. So why is it different than the talis? Again, same thing. Oh, so up to Mishnah Berurah, Mamash Tavart. Says in Mishnah Berurah, "Ain't a doyim lamad deskimah poiskim simuchal fei b'sif you based in pasha tefillin a dieta lekaron zebesek kisei have the hefsek ali days there the shiny awesome kivim the base a kisei also b'tefillin." There, it's not avoiding your mind. There, it's a reality. Tefillin can't come into the bathroom. That's a hefsek. Mashenki b'talis the medina ain't also rak deni nochum lasis kin. It's not correct to bring your talis into the bathroom. Al kein lo have a hefsek ali days there. Okay, so that's the answer. V'da. The imbe esav shita lo hayidait the lover shemiyad rak acher ezesman. Let's say you didn't plan on putting it right on. You didn't plan on putting it back on right away, but after ezesman, after some time, after acher kachoyzim nisate b'miyad, and then you change the plans. Like my hatzalah call case, guy thought he's going on hatzalah call, those can go for hours, and then you know what? He's not going on the call. Someone else took the call. Says the Mishnah Berurah, then lukuli al mutzarech lachzul levarich. Then you have to make another brach. Afilu imnisha all of talskot, even if you're still wearing your talskot, which is usually the case of atzalah members, to take if she poshti ozdo lahamitzvah. Because once you took it off, you checked out. Which is like my case of Rosh Chodesh, presumably. You checked out. You said, I'm done with the mitzvah now. Let's go the other way. What happens the other way? You thought you're going to take your talis off to go to the bathroom. And then something came up. It wasn't so simple. You had to take care. The talis came up. They needed you. They need you emergency at the kiddush, preparing for the kiddush. They need you to make sure everything is good. Right? These happen. Then Then you also have to make a bracha. I feel mishra of talis cut. Okay. One more Mishnah Berurah, number three. Says Mishnah Berurah. If a person takes off his talis in the middle of davening, let's say he's not thinking anything. That's already considered al daiti. But if you fold it, you put it into your bag, that's clearly that you're being mesiach daiti from it. So now, let's talk about one simple case. Let's say Friday. Many people have a practice based on the Mishnah Berurah that they wear a special talis cotton for Shabbos than they do during the week. Now, the truth is, if you look up the Mishnah Berurah in Reish Samach Beis, it's not 100% clear it has to be a talis cotton. It could be a talis gadol, which is what most of us do. Most of us wear a talis gadol different. But, okay, many people have a practice. We did this sugya once a few months ago where we talked about, probably years already, where we talked about changing everything for Shabbos. So, many people, I joked with someone about this during masks. Someone makbet to have a Shabbos mask and a weekday mask. If you're going to be makbet all your begodim, maybe you should have a Shabbos mask also. I hope we won't go back to that situation. But it's not clear that it has to be a talis katan. But the Mishnah Berurah, people are annoying like that. So let's say Friday afternoon, you take off you take a shower. Forget swimming. You go to the shower, you take off your talis katan, and you put on the new talis katan. You make a new bracha. Or let's say, for example, exercise. Let's say you're machmir, or perhaps not a machmir, you do what's right, and you wear special talis for exercise. So you put on your exercise, take off your regular, you put on your exercise. What bracha do you make on the new talis? So the Kafachayim writes, number four, V'chinim hiflif begod of a lovish talis cotton acher, afil lov she takef, umiyar acher sheposh arishoin. Again, it's a second later. Yivarach al hachodesh, you make a bracha on the new one. So that's poshut. Okay, so Mr. Shem, next week we'll discuss what do you do with the Rish Chodesh case, what do you do with the swimming case, and then Belineda will end off talking about whether or not you should get an Atara or not get an Atara, and I think that will be the end of the Sugya of Tzitzis. Tomorrow night, Mr. Shem, we'll have the